When the news was brought to Socrates that he had been condemned to death by the 30 tyrants of Athens, he paused in his reading long enough to hear the messenger deliver the court sentence. Before returning to his book, said no more than this: "Well, nature has condemned them. The hour of birth is our first hour on the way to death. The wise have always recognized that there is no benefit in railing against this fact or in trying to deny it. Dust we are, and to dust we return. The days of our years are 80 years and 10, or even by reason of strength, 80 years. We tend to take these familiar phrases and sentences for granted, but we ought not, for they represent a unique feature of our biblical tradition. Almost alone among the religions of antiquity, Judaism advised men to live comfortably, easily, the fact of our mortality. We have forgotten, many of us, that Judaism developed in a world, the Semitic world of Western Asia, which was preoccupied with the quest for immortality. The best known epic of that period and that place, the Gilgamesh epic, describes the adventures of a hero who sets out in search of the elixir of immortal life. He fails, of course. The legend suggests that immortality is not beyond human reach. There is a plant which, when eaten, endows man with that secret power. And at one time, according to the legend, the hero actually holds this miraculous root in his hand. And before he can taste it, it is snatched away from him by a serpent. The Bible never suggests that there's any secret potion, any mystery which, when gained, guarantees us entrance into eternal life. Instead of focusing our concerns on that which cannot be, the Bible seeks to provide us simply useful instruction how to use the time that God has granted us here, how to use it wisely, how to use it fully as well. Death is to be accepted without protest. The Lord gives, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. What explains this very special attitude of our people, so different from that which prevailed in the culture out of which they grew and developed? The answer, I believe, lies in the Bible's special understanding of the nature of God. The gods of the pagan world were powerful and arbitrary, not unlike the forces of nature which they personified. For the pagan world, creation was seen as rather an accidental fact, rather than the product of a careful, considered decision by an all-wise and beneficent God who had great, meaningful purpose for creation. Because of this, the ancients saw life as difficult and full of anxiety, and they had no reason to believe that death would be other than more of the same. By contrast, our ancestors spoke of a just and all-wise God who had carefully designed creation. Death and life were part of a beneficent plan, his design. God had protected and protects man in this life. God would not abandon us in death. The Lord will guard you from all evil. The Lord will guard your coming and your going from this time forth and forever. Today, perhaps more than ever before, we recognize the wisdom of accepting life and death as part of the natural order. God for it. He recognized the leaf must fall to make way for the blossoms of the next spring. Death is no longer a taboo subject, which we discuss only with euphemisms. We have learned to be rather open about death. But some of us still act like the child we once were, who closed his eyes and held his breath whenever he passed a cemetery. Each year I come across men and women who will not talk about their deaths with their families, and in so doing condemn those whom they love to unnecessary and unwelcome stress when the practical decisions about funeral and burial have to be made. The first shock of grief is difficult enough without the added burden of trying to think what someone might have wished when that someone would not tell us what they in fact wish. Most of us have learned to discuss life and death rather openly. More of us have not taken to heart the meaning of our death or our life. We have failed to recognize the implication of the fact of our death. There is no guarantee to any of us that there will be another day, or another year, or another decade. The calculus of life, the timing of death, these are not within our power. And so, it is an act of folly to put off, procrastinate, to avoid doing now what must be done in terms of service to our fellow men, to avoid offering ourselves now in love, service, and reconciliation, as we sincerely intend to do. Now, Judaism differed from the other cultures of the ancient Near East in its calm acceptance of the terms of life and of the fact of death. Judaism differed from the cultures of the Greco-Roman world in its understanding of the attitude we should take towards life and death. When the philosopher Thales was asked about death, he is said to have answered, "There is no difference between life and death." And so a disciple then was moved to ask, "If this is so, why do you not commit suicide?" And Thales answered, "Because it makes no difference." In the Greek scheme of things, death was to be endured, as life had to be endured. Little joy was expected neither. To the Greek, the proper attitude was that of a Stoic, to conduct yourself with becoming courage, to bear silently the slings and arrows of an outrageous fortune. This rather bleak view of life and of death was entirely rejected by our tradition. Our tradition held that there was a fundamental difference in kind between life and death. The Bible puts it colorfully, better a live dog than a dead lion. We were to choose life. We were encouraged to be a passionate, not a dispassionate people. We were to live carefully but intensely. We were to commit ourselves to others in love, give ourselves over to God's concerns, and to involve ourselves deeply in our talents, in our chosen work. The Torah provides instruction in how to live righteously, fully, and well. We particularly appreciate the value of this approach during a memorial hour such as this, an hour which makes us keenly aware that not all memories are alike. Those we remember most vividly, most intimately, with most love now, are those whose lives were most intimately involved with our own. It is this memory of those who opened themselves to us, rather than those who closed themselves off from us, which fills our hearts. The love and understanding of a parent, the quiet support and encouragement of a mate, the wise patience, understanding of a teacher, the loyal support of a friend. Judaism differed from the ancient world in its acceptance of death, and from the Greek world in its acceptance of life. While we live, let us live. And finally, it differed from the medieval faith in its insistence that the fact that we die alone, does not mean that we must live alone. As you know, medieval Christian painting often pictures the wise man as seated before a table on which a human skull is prominently displayed. No one was ever to forget that he would present himself at the gates of heaven, and that when he did so, he would stand there alone, asking for permission to enter. No one would be at his side. He would be there alone. And in the Christian world, the qualifications that he must present were those of his individual piety and of his personal purity. Now, medieval Jews also believed in heaven, and the folk tradition often describes the qualifications that we will need to enter beyond those gates. But nowhere in the tradition will you find that the qualifications which are required are those of having separated ourselves from the community, involved ourselves monastically in our private devotions. We are not to separate ourselves from life, but to involve ourselves in life. The questions which we will be asked were not how many hours did we spend in fasting and ascetic practice and in prayer, but were we a good parent? Were we a contributing citizen? Were we a wise instructor? Did we take responsibility in our community? Did we pursue righteousness? Did we work to create a strengthening environment for our families? Were we active in all those, discharging all those responsibilities which are incumbent upon man? And it is in the answer to those questions, according to the medieval tradition, that were those who determine these things will judge whether or not we pass through the gates. Today, of course, we face life and death as have all in the past, but we face with a new problem. Question, the problem of dying. With our skills and our medicines, we have come to the point where we can play God with what used to be the autumn season of life. And our skills consign an increasing number among us to a mattress grave. Now some faiths deny that the problem exists. They insist that life must be preserved at all costs, as long as the heart beats or the lungs breathe, even if it is with the aid of machine. Life must be sustained. But as you know, our tradition has a long history of avoiding sweeping moral generalizations. We tend to look on ethical problems case by case and issue by issue to seek out discriminating judgments. Judaism has never accepted the idea that we are born to endure. We are born to care. We are born to be passionate, to be compassionate, to be involved, to live. And when we can no longer care or be passionate or compassionate, the time has come for family and friends to consider whether anything of value is accomplished by preserving a non-sentient existence. Reason must help us shape our moral and spiritual concerns for the greater good of all. This memorial hour then speaks to us with a very special voice, the voice of our tradition. Speaks to us of the importance of using the time which is ours wisely and well. Speaks to us of accepting death as part of God's order, not to fear death. Speaks of us of involving ourselves in all those relationships which are intimate and precious, not trying to separate ourselves out from life, live some kind of private life of piety. Finally, it speaks to us of the responsibilities we have towards the dying. See to it that their lives have dignity as long as dignity can be sustained. And that then we do not interpose ourselves between God's will and the grave, what is there to be feared in the grave? Everything about this memorial hour, dear friends, speaks to us of duty, of act, responsibility, quality, character, our duty, our acts, our responsibilities, the quality of our lives. I have to live with myself, and so I want to be fit for myself to know. I want to be able, as days go by, always to look myself straight in the eye. I don't want to stand with the setting sun, hate myself for the things I've done. I don't want to keep on a closet shelf a lot of secrets about myself and fool myself as I come and go into thinking that nobody else will know the kind of a man that I really am. I don't want to dress up myself in sham. I want to go out with my head erect. I want to deserve all men's respect. But here in the struggle for fame and pelf, I want to be able to like myself. I don't want to look at myself and know that I'm bluster and bluff, an empty show. I never can hide myself from me. I see what others may never see. I know what others may never know. I never can fool myself. And so whatever happens, I want to be self-respecting and conscience-free. Amen.
Oh,
sun goes down, the shadows rise, the day of God is near its close. The going orb now homeward flies, the gentle breeze foretells repose. Lord, crown our work before the night, in the eve let there be light. While still in clouds the sun delays, let us soar up to heaven. That love may shed its peaceful rays, new hope unto our souls be given. Oh, may the parting hour be bright, in the eve let there be light. When our sun of life retreats, when evening shadows round us hover, our restless heart no longer beats, when graveward sinks our earthly cover, we shall behold a glorious sight. In the eve there shall be light. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Forgiveth all thy iniquities, and healeth all thy diseases. Who satisfieth thine old age with good things, so thy youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord is full of compassion and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As the Father hath compassion upon his children, so hath the Lord compassion upon them that fear him. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. The Lord hath established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Praise be thou, O Lord, God of our fathers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, great, mighty, and exalted. Thou bestowest loving kindness upon all thy children. Thou rememberest the devotion of the fathers. In thy love thou bringest redemption to their descendants for the sake of thy name. Thou art our King and helper, our Savior and protector. Remember us unto life, O King, who delightest in life, and seal us in the book of life. For thy sake, O God of life, thou, O King, art our helper, Savior, and protector. Praise be thou, O Lord, shield of Abraham.
Thank you. God Almighty to say, loving kindness thou sustainest the living, and the multitude of thy mercies thou preservest all. Thou upholdest the falling and healest the sick, freest the captives and keepest faith for thy children in death as in life. Who is like unto thee, Almighty God, author of life and death, source of salvation. Who is like unto thee, Father of mercies, rememberest thy children unto life eternal. Praise be thou, O Lord, who hast implanted within us immortal life. We sanctify thy name on earth, as the heavens declare thy glory, and in the words of the prophet we say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.
Thank you.
day of rest is ending. Still we stand before thee. O turn to us and hearken, O thou enthroned on high. The sighing of thy worshippers ascends unto thy throne. Grant the prayer of those who proclaim thee one. Israel is saved forever by thee, O Lord of hosts. Send thou thy help this day, O thou who dwellest on high. Let us find protection in the shadow of thy wings. With kindness thou searchest the erring heart to heal it. Arise, O Lord our God, manifest thy might. Sound thy word of pardon from thy hidden presence. Send thy saving power unto thy lowly people. Give answer to our prayer with thy wondrous grace. Entreating we approach thee, from thee cometh mercy. Shame us not, O Father, dismissing us unanswered. We come to seek salvation. Awe-inspiring art thou, O refuge in our trouble. Graciously grant life anew. Upon thy name we call. Thou puttest forth thy hand unto those who go astray, and thy right hand is extended to take back and love those who turn again unto thee. Thou hast taught us, O Lord, to acknowledge all our sin before thee, to the end we may withhold our hands from our unrighteousness. Receive our sincere repentance. Thou knowest, O Lord, that we are but dust and ashes. Therefore thou dost abundantly pardon. For what are we, what is our life, what our goodness, what our power? What can we say in thy presence? And not all the mighty man is not before thee, and those of great renown as though they had never been. The wise is as if without knowledge, and men of understanding as if without discernment. Many of our works are vain, and our days pass away like a shadow. Thou hast distinguished man from the beginning and hast singled him out to stand before thee. Yet who dare say unto thee, what doest thou? Though man be righteous, what does he give to thee? In thy love thou hast given us this day of atonement for the remission and pardon of all our sins, that we may refrain from every form of exploitation and return to thee to do thy will with a perfect heart. Have pity upon us in thy great mercy, for it is not thy desire that mankind should be destroyed. As it is said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his evil thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, who will have mercy upon him, and to our God, who will abundantly pardon. Yea, thou art merciful and gracious, long-suffering and of infinite patience and faithfulness. Thou acceptest with favor the repentance of the wicked, and desirest not their death. As thy prophet has spoken, say to them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why would ye die, O house of Israel? Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not rather that he should return from his ways and live?
Open unto us, O God, the gates of mercy before the closing of the gates, ere the day is done. The day vanishes, the sun is setting, let us enter thy gates.